Not at all nervous. Actually, I'm going to plan ahead. If anyone has any prayer requests, we're going to do that at the start, because I will forget. So, any prayer requests? Let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to come and preach your word, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your son who came and died for us, Lord. Please be with me at this time, Lord. Please use me. Make me your tool, Lord. I'm willing to say what you would want me to say, Lord, and please help me to do so. God, we had some requests, Lord, for some healing, Lord. And we thank you for being good to us, Lord, and for healing our bodies when we are ill, Lord. Please continue to bless, Lord, with that. God, many of us have unsafe family members, Lord, and I pray that you would be with them, Lord, and move them to realize that they need you. And God, also, please be with those of us who are preaching, both now and in the recent coming future. God, and please be with them and help them to say your words. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in Daniel chapter 3. Most all of you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's one of my favorite Bible stories. First time I heard it, I was actually sitting in the basement in a Sunday school room at the Methodist church here in town. And I love this story because for the first time when I had heard it, that was the first time I realized that God was real and that I realized that he does work and that he is an awesome God. And so I love this story, and any time I go to preach, first I try to go to Jonah because I like Jonah, and then if not, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the next thing that comes to my mind. And I read it often, and I do like it very much. I only have one point, and I'll be done. I wanted to look at how we should have boldness when we speak about God. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and will deliver us out of thy hand, O king.'" That's quite a response if you think about the situation that where they were in. We all know the story, and most of us know it very well, when they were pulled from their home and taken into captivity, and they were forced to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. And this pulpit is crooked. It's bothering me. Sorry, I'm OCD. But they were forced to serve Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar sets up this giant idol. The Bible says, I forget how many cubits tall, but it ends up being 103 feet tall, depending on how big your cubit is. And he's forcing them to bow down and worship to him. And anyone who doesn't, he's going to have burned in the fiery furnace. And of course, we know they didn't. And so this is when he says, either do it or you're going to die. And it's an amazing response that these men are going to be killed for what they are saying, and they say, "We're not careful to answer you, O king." In today's vernacular, that'd be like looking him in the eye and saying, "I don't even care. Man, my God is so big, bring it. I don't care. There's nothing you can do." But when we look at Christians in the U.S., where the worst thing that's going to happen is somebody's going to say something mean to you, somebody's going to laugh at you, somebody's going to not like you. These men were facing death, and yet they were not afraid to be bold for their cause and for their God. They were facing death, and they did not care to speak up for God. They were going to do what's right regardless of the consequences. But being bold for God is not my point this evening. I wanted to look at how God can deliver us from our trials. Also still Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 through 27, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was a stone, and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said unto the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw those men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats charred, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. We see that God can deliver us, and we see that God is willing to, and that God is able to, and we see that he goes through it and without any harm whatsoever. These men were thrown into a burning furnace, which they heated hotter than any other time it had been heated, and they're thrown in, and when they are brought out, they have no burn marks on them. They don't even smell like smoke. I mean, you can't walk past a campfire or somebody who's smoking without the whole day you're sniffing yourself going, I stink like I've been on fire. God is able to deliver you from any of the trials that arise in your life. Not only can he deliver you, but he keeps you from being injured in the process. And we saw that in verse 27. But God's ability to deliver us is not my point for this evening. I wanted to look at how great God is in comparison to the world's gods or to Nebuchadnezzar's God. We all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we see in the first part of the chapter, right in the beginning of chapter 3 there, Nebuchadnezzar set up the golden idol, and the Bible said that it stood 70 cubits tall. And like I said, I did the math, and it's 103 feet tall. So this idol, and he builds it, and he sets it in the place, and there's a band of some sorts, and there's a bunch of instruments that I don't know what are, and he sets them up to play music in a form of worship to this god. And he's got the entire city basically out there that's supposed to be worshiping this false idol. And this god has all of these very powerful political leaders standing there worshiping it. But when it's time for this idol to put its money where its mouth is, when it's time for it to actually perform as a god would, as we saw in verse 27, it has no power. As we saw that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are unharmed, that this God and its music and its worship team have no power. To compare that to my God, Nebuchadnezzar had an idol made. My God has no creator. He is one. Nebuchadnezzar's idol had to be set up. My God can set himself up. Nebuchadnezzar's idol had music played to it, but my God invented music. I mean, there's no comparison. Nebuchadnezzar's God has nothing. My God spoke the sun, moon, and stars into existence. He spoke the world into existence, which ultimately means my God spoke into existence what Nebuchadnezzar's God was made out of. And yet, we spend so much of our time focused on what the world sets up and on what the world can offer us, be it sports teams or movies or music or whatever. We spend so much of our time focused on that when we should be focusing on God. But how great God isn't exactly my point for this evening. When we see that God has everything to offer us, we see how God is able to do anything. We see that God loves us, cares for us, and provides for us. We see that God saves us. And my point is this. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. My point is, we don't have the faith that these three had. We look at the we are not careful when we read through this story, at least this is what I did for a very long time. We look at how they answer him, and with the confidence in God that they have when they answer him, they say, we are not careful. Our God is able to deliver us. And then we kind of just like skip through the story in our mind real quick because we know what's going to happen. And we kind of go to the end where he did save them. But we skip over the very important part at the start of verse 18, and it says, but if not. That is total faith in the will of God. That is standing in a perfectly good airplane, for instance, and looking out the window, and if God says jump, you look around and go, I don't have a parachute, but you jump anyways. You know that you're falling, and you know that there's nothing you can do, but it was God's will. And you know he can catch you if he wants to. And you know that he has the ability to do that, but you also know that he may not. That he's going to do his will, and yet you're willing to go through with what he says just because he said to do it. It's saying, God, I'd rather die a very painful death. I've been burned. You know, when you're helping mom in the kitchen, you catch your arm on the pot, or you're starting a fire and you get your finger on the lighter. I've been burned. I have scars to prove it. It's not pleasant. Being burned alive as a form of death does not sound pleasant to me. I mean, it was hot enough that it killed the men as they were trying to throw the three men into the furnace. It killed the mighty men that Nebuchadnezzar had. It was so hot. And yet, they said, you know what? We're willing to go through that because we're willing to stand up for our God. And we're willing to go through with his will, even if it means a very painful death. Even if it means that if they would have worshipped their God, they could have had a life of luxury. Nebuchadnezzar found favor in these three men. And he was willing to set them up and give them power, if you will, and give them the rich lifestyle, the lifestyle that very similar to what Nebuchadnezzar had and the lifestyle that a king would have. And they said, that's great, but I'd rather serve God. I'd rather die in the most painful way that you can think of than live in a life of luxury serving your gods. When I look at our country, I see how we started. And then I see how we've moved away from God. I see that we have taken God out of our schools, out of our courts, out of our entire government. I see that we've taken God out of our hearts. And to be quite honest with you, most of our churches don't stand up for God anymore. We do a poor job of representing the God who created. We do live, and I realize we do live in a very dark and wicked time in the world's history. We live in a country that endorses homosexuality. We live in a nation that endorses abortion, a nation that is trying to feminize our young men and make and butch up and kind of build up our young ladies, a nation that is proud, a nation that we have exalted ourselves and forgotten God. We live in a nation that supports and tries to build up some of the most wicked and vile sins that we can think of, and tries to tear down and make a mockery of everything that we know to be good and just and holy and pure. As I read through my Bible, I'll be honest, I'm ashamed when I read about Moses and when he interceded on the behalf of the nation of Israel. God was done with them. They had sinned greatly against him, and God was just going to torch them and say, you know what, I'll build a new nation off Moses, and the rest of y'all are gone. And Moses stepped in and said, God, no, don't do it. He interceded for them, saving millions of lives. He basically looked at Moses and said, just get out of the way, let me do my thing. But Moses pleaded with God. He begged God to spare him. As I look at our country, I see that judgment is pending for us. When will the men begin to pray? And I mean actually pray, not just bowing down and saying some cliche prayer of, God, please bless us. I mean actually praying and getting a hold of God and saying, God, I'm not moving until you move. God, I'm not leaving this spot until you're here with me and until you listen to me, until our country is where you want it to be, Lord. Can we at least have the stubbornness that Jacob had when he wrestled with God and he said, God, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go until you come. I'm not letting go until you bless me, God. I'm not letting go until you bless me. When will we get a hold of God and say, God, if you can hear, then hear me. And God, if you claim to respond, then respond to this. And God, if you can be moved, then be moved by what I'm saying. God, I know you're not a respecter of persons. And if you're not a respecter of persons and you heard Moses, then you hear me. And if you're not a respecter of persons and you heard Joshua, then you hear me. And if you're not a respecter of persons and you heard David, then you hear me. And if you heard Moody, then you hear me. And if you heard Paul, then you heard me. And if you hear Billy Sunday, then God, you hear me. When are we going to get God's attention? When are we going to get a hold of God and say, I've got something I need to ask you? God, when are we going to get a hold of Him and say that, God, be good to my family. And God, bless my church. And God, bless our country again. When are we going to realize that we only exist because of Him? There's 1 quadrillion chemical reactions going on inside of each cell in your body right now. And you realize that God is controlling the reaction rate of each one of those molecules. God is holding that together. Every time your heart beats, that's God. And when are we going to realize that we need to give Him that credit? When are we going to get a hold of God and say, God, you've been good to me in ways that I can't even imagine, and things that I can't even fathom, and things that I can't understand. I physically lack the ability to wrap my mind around how good you are to me. And when are we going to thank Him for that? We have a God that says we can do all things through Him, and yet we do so little. We have a very powerful God. A God who can do whatever He pleases. And He says, I'm willing to give you that power. I'm willing to let you do whatever you think you can do through me. And we don't take advantage of that. And we don't get a hold of God and say, God, use me. We kind of stand by idle and hope somebody else will. We sit by and think that, well, so-and-so is doing a good job, and so I'll just watch him do it. When will the men begin to pray? And when will we truly trust God with our lives? It's a very short sermon. I realize that I've only been up here for half an hour. But it's a truth that got a hold of me. And it's a truth that's been moving inside of me. And it's a truth that's been chipping away at me. I realize that I haven't trusted God completely in my life. And I realize that I've been trying to do things by my own will and by my own power, and it's not working. I realize that I'm getting tired and I'm getting fed up with trying to push forwards because it was my strength. But when we realize that we can lean on God and we realize that He's willing to do through us, He's willing to work through us, we can do so much more than if we work on our own. It's a very simple truth, and it's a very basic truth. It's the thing that the nation of Israel kept getting in trouble with, is leaning away from God. And it's the thing that most everyone does, is we get content with where we are, and we get comfortable, and that comfort, you quit thanking God for all the little things, and we quit thanking God for being so good to us, and we kind of slowly drift away from Him. I said it's a short sermon. I'm done. I guess I'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for being good to us, Lord. We thank You for all You do, Lord. Lord, I'd ask You to move, Lord. God, we have been blessed. We've been blessed beyond measure. We've been blessed beyond comparison, Lord. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.